once again. You're listening to KUCI in Irvine, and hit a little theme music. Darkling Eclectica presents a collection of broadcast fiction brought to you by the Darkling Eclectica. Reputation by Michael H. Payne, Part 15. Reckoning. 7 years it's been since our community banded together to drive that monster from our midst. 7 years of safety and prosperity blossoming in the absence of his foul shadow. 7 years that seem all too short a respite now that that rat has been reported lurking in the woods and, in fact, the very streets of our town again. We call upon the judiciary, the Air Force, even the so-called town council and mayor of Ottersgate to address these rumors and act upon them to rid our island of this creature before he once again spreads death and mayhem among us. From a pamphlet entitled The Calm Before the Storm, circulated in Ottersgate, autumn of 1734. Spitting splinters into the snow, Rat hefted the firewood and started through the drifts toward his stump. A clear afternoon like this, Meg Sparrow would be bringing the mail, and Rat was sure there'd be a couple notes from Kylie. He really ought to answer her letters, but, well, more than 2 years he'd been back, and he never quite got around to putting pen to paper. Besides, Kylie always said in her notes that she didn't expect a reply, and Fisher assured him that she gave Kylie his best whenever she went into town, something Rat only did at night when everyone was asleep. Didn't want to give those damn pamphleteers any more material than absolutely necessary, after all. Besides, Kylie was so busy nowadays, not just mistress of the Mouse Lodge, but while he'd been off wandering around, she'd gotten elected to Grandpa's old seat on the town council. Aunt Meline was still clan head, sure, but Kylie had quietly become the nibbler around Ottersgate, the one folks came to for help. She'd also written that she hadn't been out in the woods for years, which was a shame. Rat still couldn't believe some of the things he'd seen her do, the way she could just... An acrid scent off to his right. Just a pellet some bird had hacked up. He ran across them all the time in the woods, little bundles of indigestible plant matter and fish bones, stinking of stomach acid. But this one made him stop. He gave another sniff and dropped the firewood into the snow. Blood. Mammal blood. And the only way mammal blood could get into a bird pellet... Rat took off in the direction of the scent, tracked it into a nearby grove of box elders. An off-white lump in the snow beneath the tallest tree made his neck bristle. Even from this distance, he could see clumps of fur and shreds of cloth tangled among bones that weren't from any fish. Gods, that had been a mouse yesterday. Eyes on the branches, dark and silent against the sky, Rat backed away, turned, dropped to all fours, and ran, senses alert. He hadn't noticed the scent on his way out to cut wood, so the bird must have been here in the last half hour. Not an owl at this time of day, so a hawk or an eagle or a falcon, big enough to swoop down and grab him anyway. North and east he sped, the only sound anywhere the chuff, chuff, chuff of his paws sinking into the snow. Dodging through the trees, he finally slid into the clearing around Fisher's sycamore, raised his nose to sniff to see if she... The scent of feathers dry over his whiskers, something big and brown and gray rushing toward him. Throwing himself to the side, he came up in a crouch, saw Officer Hawk settling into the snow.
You,
the hawk rumbled. Almost, Rat turned and ran for the forest, but he knew he'd never outdistance Hawk in these drifts. So instead, he stood up and smiled.
Hey there, officer. Or no, it's Sergeant now, isn't it?
He gestured to the hash marks on Hawk's blue vest.
Congratulations.
Hawk's eyes narrowed.
What are you doing here?
Ah.
Rat considered.
I'd like to report a murder.
The bird's eyes shot back open.
What?
Bone, fur, and clothing in a fresh pellet southwest of here. Looks like mouse parts to me.
For a second, Hawk looked like he'd been kicked in the stomach. Then his face tightened back to that professional scowl, and without another word, he leapt into the sky. Heading southwest, following the track Rat had left in the snow, Rat swore under his breath and started for the trees. Not that he mistrusted the Hawk, except that he did. For all he knew, Hawk would try to blame this dead mouse on him, too. At least the trail he'd forged on his way to Fisher's made the return trip easier. He reached the grove in time to see Sergeant Hawk poking a claw at the pellet.
Not yours, I take it?
He said as loudly as he could. Hawk spun in place, anger clenching his face. But shame, too, Rat realized, and a sick sort of fear, like he...
Gods!
Rat moved forward, his eyes on Hawk's.
This isn't the first pellet you've found like this, is it?
Muscles bunching under his wings, Hawk didn't reply, but Rat could almost smell the truth.
How many?
He asked. A moment, then quieter than Rat had ever heard the bird speak.
This makes 7 since the solstice.
Rat's stomach clenched.
Somebody's gone wilding.
We don't know that yet. Hawk flailed a wing. And I'm not about to start a panic if there isn't any clear...
You are going to Fisher for help.
Rat slashed the snow.
You've got no clues, no ideas, no nothing.
I was going to Fisher, Hawk said, his deep voice tight as a fist, against my better judgment.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Rat couldn't stand still, started pacing in circles.
Judge Owl forced you, right? Always thought he might have half a brain. The Curials would be just the ones you'd want helping on something like this, so forget it.
Fisher's voice. Rat turned, saw her padding into the grove along the trail he'd left.
The Curials are very big on folks cleaning up after themselves.
Sergeant Hawk gave a crisp nod.
As I told His Honor, there's no reason to bother you.
Oh, now?
She sat down beside Rat.
I didn't say that. And now that the three of us are here, we can start.
Three?
Hawk's eyes focused on Rat, something that still made a chill rustle his fur. Fisher nodded.
Rat's the best tracker around, so let's hear the facts.
Hawk heaved a slow sigh.
Clara Barnswallow reported her father missing just after the solstice, and a patrol peregrine found that ugly plaid hat of his in a pellet on the far shore of Donald's Lake. We found one a week in the woods since, but only one other missing relative's been reported, so...
He's taunting you.
Rat wasn't sure he'd spoken aloud till he heard his voice, Hawk and Fisher both turning to him.
He hacks into the river, you'd never know he was doing it. And he's stalking his victims now, picking those that don't have family to report them missing.
Rat shuddered.
He's a hawk or an eagle with a grudge, maybe against the Air Force.
Hawk's feathers ruffled.
It's pure speculation.
Fisher shrugged.
Wilding's about power, Sergeant, not about needing extra protein. You know that.
Yes.
Hawk lowered his voice.
And I have some suspicions about a certain group. They display a clear contempt for those they deem to be beneath them, and that includes most non-avians. They call themselves the Raptors, and...
What?
Fisher rolled her eyes.
I go to Raptors meetings. They're no more species-centric than the Mouse Lodge.
We have evidence.
Hawk's claws tightened. And how could a wilder just swoop down and grab a citizen without any witnesses in a town this small?
No. Someone's covering up. Someone with clout. And the Raptors include members of the most powerful avian families in Ottersgate.
Okay.
Rat pulled his whiskers.
That's one theory. But I'd like to do a little more digging around.
He looked up at Hawk.
With your permission, of course, Sergeant.
Hawk's eyes hardened, but Fisher cleared her throat.
Both of us, Hawk. That's the deal.
Is it?
A tiny smile curled the base of the sergeant's beak.
Well, I'm sure the judge will be overjoyed to see this rat in his courtroom at last.
The chill Rat felt then had nothing to do with the snow.
You know that warrant's bogus, Hawk.
What I know or do not know is completely immaterial.
The bird didn't blink.
Your name appears on a bench warrant, and there are many in the Ottersgate community who would still like to see you brought in for questioning with regard to the deaths of Boris and Raymond Nibbler. I'm an officer of the court, and should I ever find you within my jurisdictional boundary, it would be my duty to...
Fine!
Rat crossed his arms.
No way I'm setting paw in Ottersgate, then.
Hawk nodded.
That would be my preference as well.
He turned to Fisher.
Shall I tell Judge Owl you refuse to help in this matter, since your conditions for employment...
His eyes darted to Rat, then back to her.
Cannot be met.
Fisher's ears folded back.
You won't tell the judge a thing, because I'll be going into town to look over whatever evidence you idiots have managed to find.
She poked a claw at Hawk's vest.
You'll be flying Rat to the other crime scenes. You said the pellets were all found in the woods?
The pleased expression drained from Hawk's face. Rat laughed.
Too bad this guy never threw up in city limits.
Fisher wheeled her glare to him.
There's nothing to laugh about here, Tiny. You find something we can use, you understand? I'll tell Doc Mallard to head on out here with the lab techs when I get into town, so don't mess things up too much.
She spun and raced out of the grove. Silence for a moment, then Hawk sighed a big gust of steam into the cold afternoon air.
Shall we be off, then?
Rat gestured to the pellet.
First things first.
Hawk glowered, then stepped to the side. Rat scurried forward, spread his whiskers.
Now, it has to be a hawk, the way the bones are partially digested. A male, too, to judge by the pellet size. Young, healthy, just into his full growth, I'd say. No scat anywhere around, so he had to have put it here on purpose. We'll leave the rest for Doc Mallard.
He looked up at the bird.
How you want to carry me?
I don't.
Hawk ruffled up the feathers under his vest.
But as I have no choice, in my claws.
Fine by me.
Rat rubbed his paws together.
You take off and I'll jump in.
The sergeant spread his wings and leapt. Rat grabbed his talons and they curled under him, pressed him into the feathers of Hawk's stomach. Air whooshed by, icy cold, treetops swaying below, Hawk's voice coming back.
Last week's is to the south.
The whole world banked left and Rat tightened his grip. A breathless time later, the ground began to rush toward him. Hawk's claws unfolded, and Rat dropped to the snow, the sergeant alighting next to him.
There,
the bird said, gesturing to the base of a tree. As Rat expected, there wasn't much, but over the remainder of the afternoon, he clung to Hawk's feet from one sight to the next, and by the time they were soaring out over Donald's Lake, Rat was almost enjoying it, the sun sparkling off the ice, the wind exhilarating through his whiskers. Then the ground was coming up again. Rat rolled out, and the sergeant landed at the base of a beech tree. Nothing, not after 6 weeks of winter weather, and Rat looked up, the smooth gray branches spreading across the quickly darkening sky.
You searched the trees at each site, I'm sure.
Of course.
Can you take me up there anyway?
A sigh, and the bird raised his wings. Whooshing upward, Hawk dumped Rat onto a branch, landed behind him. Rat spread his whiskers, looked across the woods, the bailey oak towering over the other trees, and drew lines in his head. The pattern centered on a large grove of oaks east of Ottersgate and further downstream.
Exactly.
Hawk's wing pointed to the largest tree in the grove.
The raptors have their moot hall there.
Huh. You suppose we could pay them a visit?
The ruffling of feathers made Rat turn, another tiny smile at the sergeant's beak.
It's considered very rude for non-members to stop by uninvited.
Well,
Rat gestured,
after you.
A nod, and Hawk slid off the branch. Flying over the forest, they entered the grove, large structures among the branches. Fancy, too, hinged roofs carved with elaborate swirling designs, windows glowing in the frosty evening. Hawk was making for the tallest oak, the lights up and down its height also windows, Rat realized. Either the tree was completely hollow, or the moot hall encased it. Probably squirrel-built, the same as most of these houses. To a large upper branch, Hawk swooped. Rat jumped onto it, scurried out of the way so Hawk could settle. Then he followed the sergeant to the trunk, a door set there. Hawk rapped with his claws, and a moment later, the door pulled open, light and warmth spilling out around a younger Hawk. He looked the sergeant up and down, then said, "Well, I'm sorry, but we're not accepting applications."
"Yes, very amusing." Hawk preened his shoulder. "Is your father here this evening, Cyrus?"
"Anybody who has anybody is here most evenings."
The young Hawk clicked his beak.
"Not that you'd know that."
Rat let out a laugh, and the young Hawk stretched his neck, peered past the sergeant. Rat held up a paw.
"Good evening, sir. Sergeant Hawks brought me here to ask..."
"Oh, now really?"
The young Hawk waved a wing.
"Even members can't bring in guests without proper authorization."
He cocked his head.
"Though, of course, on wild game night..."
"Cyrus?"
Sergeant Hawk didn't move, but he seemed to swell up, his glare making the other Hawk step back.
"I'll ask politely once more. Is your father here tonight?"
The young bird swallowed, shook his head.
"I'll tell him you asked. I'm certain he'll want to have a few words with you tomorrow."
His little smile came back.
"Well, say hi to Otho for me, will you?"
Reaching out a wing, he slammed the door, the light and heat from inside cutting off. Rat gave a low whistle.
"Charming lad."
"Cyrus Redtail,"
Sergeant Hawk rumbled.
"The police commissioner's son. One of my leading suspects, actually."
"All mouth and no teeth."
Rat flicked his whiskers.
"So to speak. They all like that around here?"
"If you mean, are they all pompous bastards, then yes."
Hawk shook himself.
"Let's go."
And he started hopping along toward the end of the branch.
"Interesting."
Rat padded after him.
"You got some history with this red-tail guy?"
"The commissioner?"
Hawk's big wings shrugged.
"He leaves me alone, I leave him alone, and everybody's happy."
"No, I mean Junior back there."
Rat crooked a claw over his shoulder.
"You and him ever..."
"I thought you dismissed Cyrus as a suspect."
Hawk turned, his eyes reflecting green in the lights from the tree. Rat shrugged.
"I'm always willing to be proved wrong."
"There's someone you should meet, then."
Up came the sergeant's wings, and Rat jumped for his claws. East out of the grove they flew, Ottersgate shrinking behind them, scattered lights in the trees below. Several minutes, and Rat saw Hawk was swooping toward another grove. They glided between the trees, houses of every size perched among the branches, mouse-built, Rat guessed, and a lot plainer than those around the moot hall.
"Here,"
Rat heard Hawk say, his claws starting to uncurl. Rat let himself fall onto a bare branch, Hawk landing beside him, a big boxy structure fastened to the tree trunk below them. Reaching down, Hawk rapped on the roof, and in a moment it hinged open, an older female Hawk blinking out.
"Rollo?"
she asked, a smile pulling her beak open.
"Well, if you'd told me you were coming, I'd have picked up an extra walleye."
"Hi, Mom."
Hawk smiled back, the first real smile Rat had seen from him.
"Can we come in a minute?"
"A minute?"
She folded her wings.
"You'll either stay for supper or you'll not come in at all."
Rat laughed.
"Best offer I've had in weeks."
He reached a paw down.
"Retire nibbler, ma'am."
"Charmed."
She touched her wing to his paw.
"Rollo, help our guest down."
And she ducked back inside. Hawk glared at him.
"You've no right to that name."
"Come on, Rollo. Your mother's waiting."
Rat grinned, hopped off the branch, and landed in the foyer, a curtain ahead. Pushing through, he stepped into a high-ceilinged room, the walls dark and burnished, a fireplace to the right. A few pieces of furniture, a table, a basin and stand, an icebox, sat opposite the fireplace, cushions scattered here and there, blue and green and yellow.
"A lovely place, Miss Hawk,"
he told her.
"Oh, now, Mr. Nibbler."
She was hopping toward the table, a large walleye pike lying on it.
"Call me Lavinia."
She prodded a pile of cushions by the table, and Rat saw a young Hawk lying there.
"Oh, it's your brother," she said. "He's brought a Mr. Nibbler from town."
She turned and smiled back at Rat.
"Oh, this is my youngest, Otho."
Otho opened his eyes, so sharp and piercing, more unnerving than the sergeant's sternest glare, that Rat had to force himself to step toward him.
"I'm pleased to meet you."
"Thank you,"
Otho said. Then the curtain rustled, and pure happiness flooded the young bird's face.
"Rollo!" He jumped from the cushions. "How's the case going?"
"Well enough."
The sergeant patted Otho's head.
"This, colleague of mine wanted to ask you a few questions."
"Me?"
Otho tensed, his scent so thick with fear when he spun toward Rat, it was almost like a physical slap.
"But I didn't... You can't... Well, there's no way you could think I..."
"No, no, no, Otho."
Hawk put his wing around his brother's shoulders. "He wants to ask you about the raptors."
"The raptors?"
And Otho's face changed in another instant, the fear there tightening to hatred.
"I'll answer any question you want about them."
Rat cleared his throat. The mood swings, those intense eyes. This guy's whole demeanor set Rat's whiskers on edge.
"You've had some experience with the raptors, I take it?"
Otho nodded.
"They get the best seats at school, have the best parties and the cutest girls and everything, so I wanted to join."
Lavinia snorted from the table.
"Stuck up, you ask me, that Julius Redtail. His last name's really Hawk, same as the rest of us, but is that good enough for him?"
Balancing on one foot, she picked up a large cleaver from the table.
"Do you like your walleye cooked, Mr. Nibbler?"
No, thank you."
Rat kept focused on Otho, the bird's unvarnished rage making him want to back away slowly.
"So what happened when you tried to join the raptors, Otho?"
"They wouldn't let me in."
His voice had gotten quiet again, his eyes black and wide.
"Cyrus said I didn't think the right way about things, and he told everyone to vote against me. He's such a...
A wet thwack, thwack, thwack of the cleaver made Rat jump.
"Supper's on,"
Lavinia announced. And Otho's anger vanished like a streetlight being shut off.
"Walleye's my favorite,"
he said, everything about him friendly again, and he hopped over to the table. Four wooden plates held equal sections of fish.
"Will this be enough for you, Mr. Nibbler?"
Lavinia asked. Rat forced a laugh.
"To tell you the truth, Miss Hawk, half of that'd last me a week."
"I thought as much."
She picked up the cleaver again, hacked one of the chunks into quarters, and put three of the pieces onto the other plates.
"Must be terrible being as small as some folk are."
She pushed the plates to the edges of the table.
"Well, dig in, then."
The smallest bit was still bigger than Rat's head, but he tore strips from the fish while the Hawks gulped theirs down whole.
"Great stuff as always, Ma,"
Sergeant Hawk said when he could. She gave another snort.
"You can't go wrong with walleye. I might have some pudding left in the icebox, if you want."
Hawk shook his head.
"We'd best be on our way."
He slid over, gave Lavinia a peck on the cheek, Otho a pat on the head.
"I'll see you this weekend."
Otho beamed at him.
"Get the bad guys, Rollo."
He nodded, moved to the curtain, gave Rat a backward glance. Rat stood, the questions still poking at him, but, well, none he could really ask here. Patting across to the sergeant, he said,
"Well, thanks for the supper, Miss Hawk."
"Oh, any time, Mr. Nibbler, any time. Say goodbye, Otho."
Rat looked over his shoulder, the young hawk staring at him.
"Goodbye,"
Otho whispered. Then the curtain was dropping, Sergeant Hawk pushing the roof open, the chill of the winter night crisp against Rat's fur.
"Nice family,"
he said. He jumped for the top of the wall, hauled himself up, sighted on the next branch, and leaped, digging his claws into the bark.
"Well, thank you."
Wings flapped, the sergeant landing on the branch before reaching down and folding the roof closed over the foyer.
"Now you see what I mean about the raptors?"
Rat shrugged.
"Did you ever try to join?"
Hawk's snort sounded just like his mother's.
"I have better things to do."
Instead of asking, "And your brother doesn't," Rat asked,
"So, can you come by my place tomorrow morning?"
"Why? You plan on having the case solved?"
"Maybe, but I'm sure I'll have more questions."
Rat rubbed his ears to warm them.
"So am I walking home?"
Another scowl, and Hawk took off, Rat jumping to snuggle into the warmth of his feathers. Half an hour later, they landed beside Rat's tree stump.
"Till tomorrow,"
Hawk said.
"Right."
Rat held out a paw.
"Thanks."
Hawk blinked a moment, tapped Rat's claws with a wing, sprang into the darkness. Rat shook his head and went inside. A clattering at his window woke him the next morning, Fisher's face peering over the flower box.
I would have started coffee, but somebody locked up last night. Yeah, yeah.
Rat yawned, stretched, and climbed down to let her into the kitchen door. She pushed past him to the fireplace, tossed a couple of the anti-rat pamphlets he kept there as kindling onto the banked coals.
So, you and Hawk find anything? I don't know. What can you tell me about his brother? Otho?
Fisher dipped water from the cistern into the kettle.
They had a bad fall right out of the egg. One of the first calls I went on with Ma. He's okay, though. A little slow, maybe, but I've never heard a thing against him. Why?
Rat got the coffee grounds out of the cupboard.
Well, how about Cyrus Redtail? A real jerk, but no worse than Corin Spinner. Important family, thinks the world owes him a living. Stuff like that.
The fire took with a crackling whoosh, and Fisher grabbed a log from the pile.
You're almost out of firewood. Yeah, I was working on that yesterday.
He popped the lid off the coffee can.
So, what'd you find in town? Not much.
She set the kettle on the fire pit's grill.
They recovered feathers from around the crime scenes, but the patterning wasn't distinctive, and there's no way to know if they came from our guy anyway. So, they let Kylie give him the once-over? Kylie?
She looked over her shoulder.
What for?
He tapped his snout.
Tracker's whiskers. She may not use them much anymore, but she's still got them. If anyone could pull a usable scent trace, it'd be, Mr. Nibbler!
A piercing cry outside, and a thump from above that shook the whole stump.
Help! Mr. Nibbler!
Into the hall, up to his bedroom, out the hatch, and there in the snow on the roof lay Otho Hawk, blood in his feathers, his body shuddering.
Fisher!
Rat yelled. The scrabble of her claws came to him, Otho's wild eyes snapping open, his wings flailing out.
Oh, Mr. Nibbler, you've got to stop him. You've got to...
Slow down, Otho.
Rat ducked the hawk's wings.
Stop who? What?
It's Cyrus. I saw him grab a sparrow. I flew after him, but he clawed me up, and the sparrow got away, and he flew after it to catch it again, and...
His voice dissolved into gasps, Fisher coming over the top of the stump, her ears folding back.
Gods... I don't have my first aid kit, but let me...
No time!
Otho grabbed Fisher's paws.
You've got to stop him. He was south, just east of Bracken's Farms. If he catches that little bird, it'll be just like the others.
Rat looked up at Fisher, but she was already turning, jumping, racing across the clearing to the nearest tree and up its branches.
Keep him warm!
Rat heard her shout.
I'll send help as soon as I can!
She leaped into the next tree and disappeared into the forest, heading south. The only sound for a moment was Otho's labored breathing. Then Rat said,
You can cut that out any time now.
Otho's chest froze, and his eyes rolled open, dark and intense, the rest of his expression absolutely blank.
I knew you knew,
he whispered. Rat shrugged.
I only suspected till just now, but I still can't figure out why. You can't hate your brother so much that you...
Hate Rollo?
Blinking those predatory eyes, Otho stood, and Rat realized for the first time just how big the bird actually was.
Rollo's my hero. That's why he's the one who has to punish them.
Slowly, Rat began moving into Grandpa's basic defensive stance.
Punish who, Otho?
Oh, the raptors, of course. They didn't want me. Cyrus told them I wasn't right. So I had to make sure Rollo went after them and put them in jail, didn't I?
By killing a bunch of innocent folks?
Oh, they weren't really folk.
Otho waved a wing.
Squirrels are folk because of the lady squirrel. Lizards are folk because of the Lord Eft. And us bigger birds are folk because of the lady raven. But, well, there isn't any Lord Mouse or Lady Sparrow, is there?
His eyes fixed unblinking on Rat.
And no Lord Rat, either.
Rat nodded.
You explained this little theory to Cyrus Redtail, and he didn't like it. Is that what happened?
You've been on my list since the beginning,
Otho said, his voice still soft.
All the stories everyone tells about you, if you disappeared, they'd either think you went off on another adventure, or just be happy that you were gone.
Rat forced himself to breathe evenly.
So what are you going to tell Fisher when she gets back?
Otho cocked his head.
I'll just give myself a few more cuts and say that Cyrus showed up. We fought him, but he knocked me out and took you away. You'll make a really good pellet, I think.
And he jumped forward. The obvious move. Rat rolled sideways and sprang off the stump, heard the hawk's claws scrape the bark above him. A gust of wind, feathers flapping, and Rat hit the snow, scooped up a double pawful, turned and hurled it back. Otho dodged without a sound, banked on a wingtip, and struck down with a speed Rat wasn't expecting, talons whooshing to catch the end of a whisker as Rat threw himself backwards. He scrambled to all fours, dived back and forth in the snow, the hog stabbing down all around him. All right, then. He feinted left, and when Otho leaped in that direction, Rat doubled back, grabbed the hawk's foot, scrambled up his leg, dug into the feathers at the bird's stomach, and reopened several of the superficial cuts there. That got a screech from the hawk, and he took off, spinning into the sky, Rat clinging to the feathers and trying to ignore the swirling of his inner ear. A glance showed him trees looming up, branches whipping his back, trying to scrape him off, but Rat could tell from Otho's cries that he was getting the worst of it. Then they were out, clear blue around them, Rat's stomach stretching, and he looked back to see the trees whirling away, dwindling, the air cold and rasping at his lungs. Pressing his face close to Otho's feathers, he dug in deeper.
"No, no, no!" he could hear the bird shrieking. "Why won't you die like you're supposed to? Why won't you..."
"Otho!" Another hawk's screech. Rat risked a look, nothing but winter bear trees sliding all up and down over the sky, and clamped his eyes shut again.
"No!" from Otho. "You can't! You can't! You can't!"
"Land at once!" came the other voice, and Rat recognized it as Sergeant Hawk's bellow.
"I won't!"
Otho screamed.
"I won't!"
Not sure what else to do, Rat gritted his teeth and pushed his claws through the feathers to the skin and in, hot liquid oozing over his paws. Otho's shriek, then, had no words in it, his bucking and twisting blossoming into sheer frenzy, and Rat's claws, slippery with blood, came loose, the warmth of the bird's body gone, nothing but wind in his fur. He opened his eyes, saw Otho soaring away into the winter morning, twisted his head, the forest rushing up. Then a flash of gray and blue and brown, a thump that slammed the breath from his lungs, a cry of, "Hang on, damn you!" Sliding over cloth, he rolled, grabbed for Sergeant Hawk's vest, gasped, the trees still flying at him. Everything spun, almost wrenching him loose. Then, with a jarring crash, it all went still.
"Off, off, off!"
he heard Hawk shout. "I can still catch him!" Inner ear sloshing, Rat let himself roll, trusted his whiskers, and hit something that felt like wood. The world shook some more around him, a huge gust of wind, the dry scent of feathers washing through it. Then things began to settle, and Rat chanced cracking his eyelids. He was clinging to an upper branch of a box elder, not a single leaf between him and the two birds, the larger climbing rapidly, the smaller dropping just as fast, till they hit, feathers exploding in a cloud, the two shapes tangling into one whirling mass. The slap of their impact reached Rat an instant later, the figures separating, the larger now above the smaller, and Rat felt the branch shake.
"Gods above!"
came a panting voice, and he looked back to see Fisher gripping the trunk, her eyes fixed on the battle.
"What? What?" "It was Otho,"
Rat got out. "He..." Shrieks cut him off, and he looked skyward to see the two birds crash again, fusing and flailing and plummeting down. A gasp behind him, and Fisher launched herself into the next tree, scrambled away toward the dropping figures. The sharp stink of blood hit Rat's whiskers, Otho's, he could tell, and one hawk pulled out of the dive, the other smashing through the treetops. Sunlight reflected from the badge on the vest of the hawk, banking, circling, descending at a more controlled pace. Rat pushed himself up, clambered to the trunk of the box elder and down, hit the snow, ran toward the crash site. His whiskers led him straight to it, Fisher already there, Sergeant Hawk standing rock still above the sprawled form of Otho, feathers stained and dripping. Fisher looked up at Hawk.
"There's nothing I can do,"
she said quietly. The snow red around Hawk's claws, the sergeant bent down, slid a wing under his brother's head. Otho's eyes fluttered, their wild intensity sputtering like the last sparks of a campfire.
"Rollo, you got the bad guys?"
Rollo nodded, and Otho twitched, went limp, his dark eyes cold as glass.
"He woke me up this morning," the sergeant whispered, "blood in his feathers,
said
said he'd seen Cyrus Redtail strike a sparrow up north past the Kiva. I took off, but the pattern, it's been one a week, and with yesterday...
He stopped, swallowed.
I flew back to my place to ask him if he was sure, and he was gone. I was out looking when I heard... him shriek.
Touching a wing to Otho's face, Hawk stroked his eyelids closed. Fisher reached out, put a paw on his shoulder, looked back at Rat.
I'll go for Doc Mallard.
Rat nodded, padded over to sit beside Hawk, watched Fisher jump up into the trees and leap off toward town. Darkling Eclectica Presents has brought you part 15 of a reading from Rat's Reputation by Michael H. Payne. Music and narration were by Michael Payne. Darkling Eclectica Presents is a production of KUCI in Irvine.